Lesson 9. Application. Lesson Objectives. 1. Be aware of false substitutes for biblical application. 2. Follow a process for moving from interpretation to application of the text. 3. Know specific questions to ask in order to find applications of the text. 4. Practice these steps on selected passages of Scripture. Introduction. Something to think about. Discuss the relationship of interpretation and application in your current Bible study. When you preach or teach, which is easier, to interpret the text or to apply it in today's world? When you study Scripture or listen to a sermon, are you able to find application to your life? Jacob said, "Pastor, can we meet? I have a big question about the Bible." Later that week, the pastor met with Jacob and looked at several scriptures that addressed the issue Jacob was facing. After a few minutes, Jacob closed his Bible and said, "Let me be honest. I already know what the Bible says, but I don't want to do this. It is too difficult for me." The problem for Jacob was not interpretation. The problem was application. It is not enough to observe what Scripture says and interpret its meaning. We must apply it to our lives. Too often, Bible study ends at the interpretation stage. We begin by observing what the text says. We continue by interpreting what it means. We must end by applying the text to our lives. We can summarize this process with three questions. What does the text say? Observation. What does the text mean? Interpretation. How does the text work in my life? Application. Substitutes for application. The psalmist wrote that the person who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on the law will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Psalm 1:2-3. Satan tries to keep us out of the Bible. He knows that we will weaken and die spiritually if we don't take in the nourishment of God's Word. Note, material in this lesson is adapted from Howard G. Hendricks and William D. Hendricks' Living by the Book, Chicago Moody Publishers, 2007. If he cannot keep us out of God's Word, Satan tries to keep us from applying the truth to our lives. As long as we don't live out God's Word, we will not be fruitful. If Satan cannot keep us from reading the Bible, he will tempt us to accept a substitute for application. We substitute interpretation for application. It is possible to carefully study a scripture passage and determine its meaning without putting it into action. When David heard Nathan's parable about a rich man who stole a poor man's sheep, he responded with the correct interpretation. As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. 2 Samuel 12:5-6. David's interpretation was correct. He responded in the name of the Lord. He insisted on justice. He required restitution. No one can fault David's interpretation, but David failed to apply the parable to his own life. The prophet made the application, "You are the man." 2 Samuel 12:7. This is a special danger for preachers and teachers. We can teach Scripture to others while ignoring our own disobedience. James warned against interpretation without obedience. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. James 4:17. After we properly interpret Scripture, we must not fail to put it into action. We must not substitute interpretation for application. We substitute partial obedience for complete obedience. It is possible to study a scripture passage, determine its meaning, and find some areas of application without allowing it to change us completely. We may find areas where we obey the scripture, but we may ignore the deepest areas of disobedience in our lives. Perhaps we have been studying Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. In the application step, we examine our important relationships. We ask, Do my sermons build up my congregation? Yes, I am a faithful pastor. Do I use supportive words with my children? Yes, I am a loving parent. Do I build up my spouse? No, I am often negative in my responses. Your communication with your spouse is the place where God's Spirit wants to change you. Satan tempts you to substitute obedience in other areas for a life-changing application of this text to your relationship with your spouse. He tempts you to accept partial obedience instead of committing yourself to full obedience. We substitute excuses for repentance. A lawyer asked Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Luke 10:25. The lawyer already knew the answer. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Luke 10:27. The lawyer understood Scripture, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Luke 10:29. His problem was not interpretation, his problem was application. The lawyer rationalized his lack of love. Perhaps God's Spirit says to you, "Your words are not edifying to your spouse. This is destructive communication. You have read the word, you have interpreted the word. It is now time to apply the word." Instead, you may think, "My spouse is always negative. If I am negative, it is because my spouse is so negative. It isn't my fault." What have you done? You have excused your behavior rather than repenting of your failure to obey God's word. We substitute emotion for transformation. James wrote of a person who hears the word but does not act on it. James 1:23-24. Sometimes a person hears the word and is genuinely stirred, but he allows an emotional response to substitute for true change. Every pastor knows the frustration of preaching on a topic, having people say, "That sermon convicted me," and then seeing no lasting transformation. Perhaps you hear Ephesians 4:29 taught at a marriage seminar. In a time of commitment at the end of the seminar, you say to your spouse, "I'm sorry. I want to speak positive words. I'll do better." However, you soon fall back into your old habits of harsh words, negative statements, and hurtful communication. What happened? There was an emotional response, but no true transformation. This is dangerous. After repeated failure, we become convinced that transformation is impossible. An emotional response to truth must be accompanied by true transformation and obedience, which are only possible when we submit to the work of the Holy Spirit. Steps to applying Scripture. After describing the person who looks at himself in a mirror and then forgets what he looks like, James describes the person who properly applies Scripture in his life. "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." James 1:25. It is not enough to hear the word, we must apply the word. What is necessary for proper application of Scripture? In order to properly apply Scripture, you must do three things. Step 1. Know the meaning of the Scripture. This is why the lessons on observation and interpretation are important. If we do not know the text, our application will not be correct. We begin the step of application by asking, "How did first century Christians apply this scripture in their world?" For example, Paul wrote, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. Some teachers have taken this as a promise that we can achieve anything we desire because Christ gives me strength. Athletes proclaim, "I will win today's game because I can do all things through Christ." Faith healers assure their listeners, "If you have enough faith, you will be healed because you can do all things through Christ." Preachers of a false prosperity gospel announce, "God wants to make you rich. All you must do is to cooperate with God. You can do all things through Christ. When we ask, how did Christians in Philippi apply this verse? We find that this was not a promise of worldly success, but a promise of spiritual endurance. Paul was under arrest in Rome. His audience was facing persecution. He did not mean that he had worldly success, but that he was able to persist in all situations by faith and obedience. Paul learned to be content in all circumstances, because through Christ he could do what God wanted him to do. This did not mean a life of comfort. It meant that he did not lose his spirit of contentment in the face of difficulties. Step 2. Understand how the Scripture applies to life. Paul warned Timothy that he must know himself in order to minister effectively to others. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. 1 Timothy 4:16. As Timothy paid close attention both to himself and to the doctrine he preached, he would minister effectively to his hearers. After I know the text and how it applied to its first readers, I must know myself and how the text applies to my world. Perhaps I look at myself and see that I usually do not expect God to bless and help me. Philippians 4:13 tells me to face life's challenges with confidence, because I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now the application becomes clear and specific. Next to this verse I might write, when working in an environment that is opposed to Christian values, I will trust God's grace to strengthen me to faithfulness. I can do all things through Christ. This takes the verse from the first century to the 21st century. Proper application of Scripture will work in the real world. God's Word relates to all areas of life. As I apply Scripture, I do not ask, what is the religious application of this text? Instead, I ask, how will this text be lived out in every area of life? John Wesley wrote, the gospel of Christ knows of no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness. Source, preface to John and Charles. Wesley's 1739 edition of Hymns and Sacred Poems. We live the gospel not as monks hidden from society, but as believers in relationship with others. We grow in holiness not by separating from others, but within the context of a church community. Earlier, we looked at Ephesians 4:29. As I consider the application of this verse, I should apply it to my relationships with fellow Christians. Do my words build up my fellow believers or tear them down? I should relate the verse to my family. Does my conversation build my family, or does it weaken the confidence of my spouse and children? I should relate the verse to my job. Am I an employee who speaks positive words, or do I spread negative ideas? Ephesians 4:29 relates to every area of life. This is why Paul wrote that servants who live properly in relation to their masters will adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. Titus 2:10. Careful application of Scripture makes the gospel attractive to the people around us. Step 3. Obey the Scripture. The ultimate goal of Bible study is daily application. In 2 Timothy 2:3-6, Paul describes Christians as soldiers, runners, and farmers. These images describe someone who is persistent in pursuing a goal. The soldier doesn't rest during the battle. The runner doesn't stop halfway through the race. The farmer doesn't stop plowing until he finishes the job. The Christian life demands endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. As you study Scripture, ask, is there an area of my life where I should practice this truth? Ask God to help you to systematically apply the truth in your life. As you do this, God will reveal more truth to you. You will develop an even greater appetite for spiritual food. If God speaks through Ephesians 4:29 to convict you of your speech, you should commit to practicing speech that builds up. This might be as simple as asking God to give you one opportunity a day to speak grace into someone's life. It might mean asking a trusted friend to warn you when they hear you using harmful communication. This becomes a way to practice God's word on a daily basis. In college, there was a young man who struggled with a certain area of temptation. Jason loved music, including some styles with texts that tempted him in his area of weakness. Jason wanted victory over temptation, but he did not apply scripture consistently in his life. In September, the school would have revival services. Jason would go to the altar. He would return to his dorm room and throw away his inappropriate music. For a few weeks, he would have a bright testimony. Then he would begin to buy some new recordings in this style. Soon he was discouraged. He would say, "I've backslidden." In February, the school would have a Bible conference. Jason would go to the altar. He would throw away his recordings and have a bright testimony for a few weeks. Then in April, he would buy some more recordings, and the process would start again. What did Jason need? Better interpretation? No. He knew his area of weakness. He knew what the Bible said about keeping a pure mind. He knew the impact that certain music had on his spiritual walk. Jason's problem was not interpretation. He simply needed to practice what he knew. What area of application do you need to practice? Questions to ask. It can be helpful to ask these five questions as you look for ways to apply scripture to life. 1. Is there a sin to avoid? Too many Christians despair when they find an area in which their lives fail to match the demands of scripture. When God speaks to us through His word about an area of sin in our life, we should not despair. Instead, we must willingly obey His word. 2. Is there a promise to claim? Sometimes application is simply claiming God's promises. We must be careful to interpret the promise correctly. Some promises were made to certain individuals or to the nation of Israel. We must be careful to not take the promise out of its context. However, when we have carefully interpreted the promise in its biblical context and know that it is a promise to all believers, we can claim the promise for our lives. 3. Is there an action to take? Ask, what should I do because of this passage of Scripture? What truth is this passage teaching? Does it warn me of an error in my doctrine? Do I need to change my thinking to line up with Scripture? What action do I need to take because of this Scripture? One example is prayer. As we read the prayers of David, Paul, Nehemiah, and Jesus, we find models for our own prayer life. How better to learn to pray than to copy the prayers of Paul or Jesus? As I read, I can take action by adapting the prayers for my own life. 4. Is there a command to obey? The second half of Paul's letters is usually made up of commands. These commands are usually very simple and direct. Sometimes Christians look for profound truths while ignoring the simple application of what they already know. Someone wrote about the danger of looking for deep truths while ignoring the obvious truth. He told about his first studies in New Testament Greek. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The original Greek does not have a different, surprising meaning. In Greek, this verse means exactly what it sounds like it means. It is not difficult to understand the meaning. Rather, it is difficult to obey. Note, adapted from Andy Crouch, Information and Formation in Christianity Today, March 2014. Sometimes all that is needed is a simple, "Yes, Lord, I will obey." 5. Is there an example to follow? Much of Scripture contains biography. As we read biography, we ask, is there an example to follow? When we read about Abraham in Genesis 18, we can follow the model of Abraham by interceding for our world. A teacher was teaching in Nigeria. Nigeria has been torn by conflict between Muslims and Christians. One of the students asked his classmates, "Why do we fight with Muslims more than we pray for them? Do we believe that God is able to bring them to salvation?" If so, we should follow Abraham's example and intercede for their salvation. That is application. Put it into practice. We have made observations from Romans 12, 1 to 2. We have done word study on important terms in these verses. We have studied the historical, cultural, and biblical context in order to properly interpret Paul's message. We are now ready for the most important step. How will you apply Romans 12, 1 to 2 in your life? Something to think about. Review the notes on Romans 12, 1 to 2 that you made during earlier lessons. Then list three specific things you can do to apply this text in your life. Conclusion. This course is about interpreting the Bible in order to teach it to others. This is what we are called to do as ministers of God's Word. However, there is a danger in this. If we are not careful, we can study the Bible only for preaching and teaching. We can fail to apply biblical truth in our own lives. Bible study is not just for the purpose of learning and teaching. God's Word can be compared to the food that nourishes us physically. Eating has both daily and long-term effects. You don't lower your cholesterol with one healthy meal, and you don't build spiritual strength with one day in God's Word. It takes a regular, healthy diet to build physical health, and it takes a long-term diet of the Word to build spiritual strength. Yet the day's meal of the Word is significant for whatever you face that day, just as a good breakfast helps you with a hard day's work. As pastors, teachers, and church leaders, we must never forget that our own spiritual lives must be nourished daily. In our efforts to teach others, we must not forget to feed our own hearts with the bread of God's Word. It is only as we nourish ourselves that we have the spiritual strength that we need to minister to God's people. Paul was well aware of this danger. He wrote of the awful possibility of being disqualified himself after he had preached to others. 1 Corinthians 9:27. What a terrible thing to teach others while rejecting God's grace in our own hearts. Study to teach others, but also study to hear God speak to your own heart. Put it into practice. Activity, Luke 14:25 to 17:10, is a series of parables and instruction. As Jesus traveled to Jerusalem the last time, he gave his final instruction to his disciples. As you read Jesus' teaching, find specific applications from these verses. Ask, is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an action to take? Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow? Lesson 9. Key points. 1. It is not enough to properly interpret God's Word. We must apply it in our daily lives. 2. Satan tempts us to replace application with substitutes. We can substitute interpretation for application. We can substitute partial obedience for complete obedience. We can substitute excuses for repentance. We can substitute emotion for transformation. 3. In order to apply Scripture in our lives, we should follow three steps. Know the meaning of the Scripture. Understand how the Scripture applies to life. Obey the Scripture. 4. To find ways to apply Scripture in your life, ask these questions. Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an action to take? Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow?